Our readings for today celebrate a wonderful idea. Jesus is the icon of God. Jesus is the icon of God. What is an icon? An icon is an image, a symbol, a representation of a dimension of the life of the church. As you see on the ambo, I've put two icons here, icons that I have at home. The first is a reproduction of an icon called the Sitka icon, and it is in St. Michael's Cathedral in Alaska. It is a symbol, an image, a beautiful representation of Our Lady and our Savior. The second is an icon of the Holy Family that I was given when I was in the Holy Land 3 years ago. And so these images of Our Lady and our Savior and of the Holy Family are representations. They are windows through to the reality of God. Now, in that reading that Alfredo did from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, we're told that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In Greek, the language of the New Testament, the word that is translated as image is the word icon. St. Paul says that Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. And what I would like to think about with you this morning is this idea that Jesus Christ is the true icon. He is not just a symbol. He's not a drawing. He is the reality. And so we want to think for a few minutes now about how Jesus is the icon, the image of God. In our gospel, Jesus talks about how he is the bridegroom, and that when you're at the bridegroom's party, you don't pass out just water and dry bread. You have a great feast. Why was it that Jesus saw himself as the bridegroom? Because Jesus understood how every image in the Old Testament, paintings, so to speak, that anticipated him were now being fulfilled. There's this beautiful icon, this beautiful image that we have in the prophet Isaiah at chapter 54, verse 5. Listen to this beautiful verse of Holy Scripture. For your maker, says Isaiah, is your husband. Listen to that again. Your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. As the husband of Israel, the prophet Isaiah also saw the Lord as Israel's maker and redeemer. Now think about that. The husband is also the maker and the redeemer. And so Jesus in the gospel, when he says, I am the bridegroom, understands that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Now here's the thing that's even more remarkable in a sense, because of how the Holy Spirit works to inspire the sacred writers. St. Paul, in that reading that Alfredo did from Colossians, understands this fully. For remember, he said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now, what Paul does is he develops the image from Isaiah 54. And he's going to show us how Jesus, the husband, is also the creator and the redeemer. Listen to what Paul says next. For in Jesus, all things in heaven and on earth were created. Things visible, that is the universe. Things invisible, that is heaven itself. thrones and dominions, rulers and powers, all things have been created through him and for him. What did Isaiah say? For your maker is your husband. What did Jesus say? I am the bridegroom. What did St. Paul say? Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. In him, everything in the universe, everything that's visible and invisible has been created. Now, in that passage from Isaiah 54, the Lord also is called the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? He is the Lord of heaven. All of the hosts are all of the angels. Do you know that there are 9 choirs of angels? 9. It's remarkable. And all of these angels worship Jesus Christ because everything has been created in him, but also for him. In other words, all of creation has been made to worship Jesus. And this is the vision that St. Paul has. But not only is he the creator, the maker, he is also the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. Now listen to what St. Paul says about Jesus the Redeemer. Jesus himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. Now listen to this. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth, that is, here in this world, or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross. Wow. What does it mean to be redeemed? To be redeemed means that we are being bought back. We are being restored to our rightful relationship with God. It is to be reconciled. And this is a dimension of hope we need in these days where there is so much division. There is so much suspicion. There is so much criticism, so much ridicule, so much questioning of one another, vaccine, anti-vax, mask, anti-mask, all around us. We see this kind of conflict. But the church is to be an icon. The church is to be the icon of reconciliation, because St. Paul says ultimately Jesus Christ is going to reconcile everything. Do you believe that to be true? Do you believe that Jesus is the Redeemer? And that one day in the fullness of heaven, you and I will be caught up in the fullness of redemption. But because that is the ultimate truth, in the present, you and I are to be icons of Christ. We are to live, however falteringly, however imperfectly, in such a way that this vision is inspiring us and it's transforming us and converting us. As I said a few minutes ago, Pope Gregory the Great was the pontiff from 590 to 604. And he spoke honestly, he wrote honestly about how he saw himself as an imperfect icon and representative of Jesus. But he also understood that Jesus is perfect. So listen to what this great pope wrote about his relationship to Jesus. "Who am I?" said Pope Gregory the Great. "What kind of watchman am I? I do not stand on the pinnacle of achievement. I languish rather in the depths of my weakness." Wow. Let me read that again. "I do not stand on the pinnacle of achievement. I languish rather in the depths of my weakness." But listen to what he now says. "And yet, the Creator and Redeemer of mankind can give me, unworthy though I be, the grace to see life whole and the power to speak effectively of it. It is for the love of him that I do not spare myself in preaching him. Isn't that remarkable? Where is Pope Gregory's confidence? It's not in himself. It's in Jesus Christ and his message. And that's always the way for a preacher who wants to preach from the heart the truth of Christ. And that's always the way for the church that wants to live not in our own strength, in our own ingenuity, but from that place where we are seeing the true icon of God. And when we see Jesus more fully, we stop watching so much news and we stop allowing the news to define who we are. And too many of us today are being defined by the world. We can't do that. We are to be defined by Jesus, the true icon who wants to transform your heart and my heart as we ponder in our minds who he is, so that with Pope Gregory, we can live in a crazy world like this with hope and with confidence. And like Our Lady and like the Holy Family, we can learn to live from the true center, Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Bridegroom of his Church. Thanks be to God.